Morning, Birshus, my Rabbeim and colleagues at the Kollel and the visiting Balabatim. This is our last Chazara Shir for this round of Chazara. What's interesting is that it's a Chazara Shir for those who learned it in the Kollel, but there was never actually a Friday Shir on this to begin with. So I'll do my best to try to make sure that we get the Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos down pat, which is why that really takes up the bulk of what we're doing today on the source sheet. I'd first like to organize the shitos before we get into the svaros, and then we will work on why each shita says what they do, what exactly is causing people to owe money in which cases. We'll be working within the Gemara's cases, and again, bearing in mind the short time frame as well as the amount that we have to cover in the Chazara, if we could stay focused within the sugya as opposed to other questions, meaning there will be many opportunities that present themselves to ask questions, oh, what would that mean about this and that and the next thing, which are all good questions, but not necessarily in what we're doing right now, but I'm certainly more than happy to talk about them afterwards. Tosfos will, don't worry, do their best to bring in all of the other cases, which will actually be important for understanding the Gemara. So, let's take a look at the Gemara itself. You're welcome to look inside in your Gemaras. You're welcome to look inside on the source sheets. The Gemara reads as follows. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa. Hasocher sasfina v'tava la b'chatzi haderech. If one hired a boat, and it really sunk halfway through, tava la b'chatzi haderech. Rabbi Nasan Omer, the Braisa says that Rabbi Nasan's opinion is, im Nasan, if you gave what presumably refers to money, meaning if I paid up front, lo yitol, I may not take back my money. V'im lo nasan, if however, I haven't paid yet, lo yitain, I don't have to pay for this journey. So first of all, before we get to the Gemara, which is going to establish how this can be and in which case this is going to be relevant, let's just lay out a few important rules or terms or definitions or examples. Number one, halfway is obviously lav dafka. It doesn't have to have literally traveled halfway into, you know, the journey that they were going to take together. As we'll see, this will be a source of different nafkaminas, depending on how we understand the different chiyuvim here. You may see different amounts of money being paid, whether it traveled part of the journey or all of the journey. Not all, obviously, but most of the journey or just a small part of the journey. Also, we're going to refer to the boat owner, okay, the person who owns the Sfina, as Reuven, and we're going to refer to the wine owner, the person who is ostensibly renting the boat, to be Shimon. Okay, so just to keep those in mind, I will try to remind people as much as we can. So let's take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara asks, Hechi Dami, how can we have a case in which, if you paid up front, you can't get your money back, but if you haven't paid yet, you don't have to pay? So the Gemara now is going to work within, technically, four different cases, where within each of the boat and the wine, you can have two choices. Either when the rental agreement took place, it was stam, meaning an unspecified object, so either the boat was unspecified or the wine was unspecified, or it's going to have been sfina zo or yayin zo, in which case the wine or the boat was specified. And as we're going to see, there are going to be differences depending on whether which ones of these were specified or not. So, ilema b'sfina zovi yayin sam, says the Gemara, if you're going to say that is talking about a case where the boat was specified and the wine was remained unspecified, meaning someone said, I'd like to have the hire the, whatever it is, HMS Friday Shear to transport cargo for me. They don't say anything about what the cargo is. But they want a very specific boat. And they leave their cargo unspecified. Asks the Gemara, im nasan amailo yitol. If they paid, why can't they get their money back? Why, says the Gemara, name alay, let the person who owns the wine, meaning Shimon, go to the boat owner and say, havli sefinta, give me the boat that you promised, de'ana maisina chamra, and I will then bring my wine. Meaning, the first boat that was hired, as we said, the case was, it sinks halfway through. So where's the boat right now that the person wanted to rent? At the bottom of the ocean. So in this case, if we're going to say it's a case of sfina zo and yayin stam, where you've specified a boat and you've said, I want this boat bedafka, and you didn't specify your own cargo, we'll see again how that might change the case. In this case, you as Shimon, the wine owner, have the right to go to the boat owner and say, give me the boat that you agreed to rent me, and then I will bring my cargo. And since the boat owner cannot bring the boat, because the boat is, again, at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, therefore, we say he has the right, Shimon has the right to take back the money that he paid up front to Reuven, and therefore that cannot be the case to which Rabbi Nassan is referring to.
Is this a case where the Sfina has not been used by Shimon yet to load his cargo and he's traveling? Or is it
so the assumption is, again, that we already hired it, we already loaded the cargo, and then it sank, and now this is time number two that we're coming forward. Who gets to keep the money?
So
the
Utopia,
obviously, if they both agree, by the way, then they're going to be able to continue and just go through with the journey.
You told us the value of the boat. Is it the value of the boat?
We're not talking about the value of the boat here. We're talking about, do you have to pay for the transportation service? The question of the boat is a good question, but that's not something we can address right now.
What about the value of the lost
wine? Also, not a question that we're going to be addressing now. We'll see little bits and pieces here and there. And there may be certain afkaminas, but in general, I just want to address the question of when you have to make the rental payments. That's going to be, as you'll see, complicated enough for today.
I think the assumption is neither of them are paying for each other's loss.
Right. I mean, when he makes the comment of, because I am bringing wine, I think it's a response to the boat owner who says, well, who cares? You don't have any cargo anymore. He says, no, I'm bringing wine.
Right.
I need you to do your end of the deal. Give me a boat.
Right. And the truth is, by the way, even if he comes with a different boat, the person who specified Zo has the right to say, I didn't want that boat. Whereas when you come with cargo that was unnamed, then you do have the right to say that. Now let's take a look at the flip case. Ela b'sfina stam v'yayin zeh. Let's say it was a case where you rented a general boat. You said, I'd like to rent a boat from you to take this crate of wine that I have across the Atlantic. So then again, ask the Gemara, im lo natana ma lo yitain. In that case, you have the opposite response. Meaning, it's true, round number one, everything sunk. Then the boat owner will come forward and will say, Nemale havli hahu chamra v'anamai sina svinta. He'll say, please give me the wine that you wanted to transport, and I'm happy to provide another boat. He's able, the boat owner, Reuven, is able to provide another boat, and Shimon is the one who's sort of holding this back from happening. And therefore, he should have to pay in full in this case. Im lo natan, says the Gemara, my lo yitein, Nemale havli hahu chamra v'anamai sina svinta. So Amar Rav Papa says, fine, we're left with two cases, meaning we went through the case of Yayin Zo and Sfina Stam, and we went through the case of Sfina Zo and Yayin Stam. Those ones we said, it's clear who should get what. The person who's able to continue the agreement by providing something that they didn't specify beforehand is the one who's going to get the money in that case. That's quite clear. So we have two cases left, the case of Zo and Zo and the case of Stam and Stam. So Amar Rav Papa says, Lo mishkachas la'ela b'sfina Zo v'yayin zeh. The case that Rabbi Nassan was talking about is where both the boat and the wine were specified. Okay, we'll see the explanation of this in a moment. Aval b'sfina stam v'yayin stam. But in the case where neither were specified, both were left unspecified, then says the Gemara Cholkin, we're going to split the amount of money, meaning you'll have to pay presumably for half the journey. Okay. What's going on here? So there are going to be a few approaches that we see to the sugya. Within the Rishonim at large, you can see far more approaches than we bring here. We're just going to bring Rashi and Tosfos. I'd like to read through Rashi, and then you'll see a summary chart of Rashi to see how Rashi understands the sugya. For Rashi, there are a couple of little points that we'll have to deal with, but by and large, we'll be able to explain the sfaros fairly quickly. Then we'll get into Tosfos. I want to just note one thing that may be bothering you up front. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about it a little bit more later, which is the following. It seems a little bit bizarre for people to be able to insist with this level of hakpada on what type of boat or what type of wine, especially thinking back to previous sugyas. Like, why is it that, like, it's true I wanted to bring this cargo, but, like, why are you being so makpid on my cargo? It's almost like some of the Rishonim say, it's like, kofin al midas sedom, like, what's wrong if I bring another cargo? Like, just because I specified this wine, why can't I bring another wine? So that's a question we will deal with at some point. But for now, for the sake of learning through Rashi, let's just assume that you do have the right to be makbid, and you are able to say, when you said that one, I only agree to that one. Okay? For whatever the reason may be, I hope to get there. Okay, says Rashi. So Rashi, by and large, goes with the double or nothing approach. Rashi says, "Im natan es haschar," back in the words of Rabbi Nasan, "im natan es haschar va'afilu kulo," meaning even if you paid the full wages for the entire trip up front, lo yitokin v'farsh lekaman tatevei yaro ala tachtona, that you won't be able to take that back. Im natan lo yitol. Rashi has a slightly different in the gears in the Gemara. In the second Dibur HaMaskil here, we have in our Gemaras, Im Natan Amai Lo Yitol. Rashi just says, Im Natan Lo Yitol. He reads it the same way to say that it's a question. In the case of Sfina Zoviyayin Stam, why can't you take back your money? Why can't Shimon get back his money? So says Rashi, Bitmiya, Valo Ta'ana Tatoveya Bari V'Chazaka Mita'ana Tanitva. The person, Shimon, who's coming forward, has a much stronger claim than Reuven. Damar lehavli ahu sfinta gufa, d'amrit li sfina zo. You told me you were going to give me this ship. V'anam ha'isina kam chamra, then I will bring you the wine that I have. Ve'olich l'makom she'iz nesa. D'anan yayin stam amri, v'kevan debal ha'yayin yachal hashlim t'na'o, chayav ha'sapan l'hamid lo sfina. And therefore, what he says is, it's since the person who is bringing the wine, Shimon, has the ability to fulfill his end of the deal. Therefore, the boat owner will have to provide a boat. The boat owner cannot provide a boat. Therefore, he should get his money back, as we conclude. And so, too, the other way around, in the next case, namely, havli ha'uchamra gufei, v'anam ha'ismina, sfinta achrisi ho'ov ha'safan yesh biyado l'hashlim t'na'o b'zem ha'akev, yishalim kol ha'schar, says Rashi, since in this case, the person says, I'm able to bring another boat, but you can't bring your wine. Who's the one holding back this deal from taking place?
Wine guy.
Shimon, the wine guy. And therefore, that person, since they're holding it back, will have to pay all of the schar for this case. And then, Rav Papa, lo mishkachas adam rasan, ela b'yayin zeo sfina zo, when they're both zo, says Rashi, v'lo b'yad zev izel lehashlim. Neither of them there is able to fulfill what they have agreed to do. And therefore, Rashi says, Hilkach yad toveya ala tachtona. Therefore, the person who is trying to extract money won't be able to extract it. Amar lehech, the other person can say, Analo me'akvana. I'm not holding it back. Miki ma'isis didach, when you bring yours. And we'll get to the svar for this in just a moment when we go through the chart. And finally, Cholkin says, Rashi im kibel. What that means is, if you already received the payment, if Shimon paid Reuven up front, Reuven has to return half the amount of money. Vim lo natan, if he didn't, yitin hachetzi, he has to pay him half the wages. Share biyad shnehem l'hashlim. In this case, it's not that neither of them can fulfill their part of the deal, but rather both of them equally can fulfill the entire deal. And both of them, so to say, have the power to extract money. And therefore, vim yakev hanitva militin hachetzi, yaset na'o. And if the other person doesn't want to give their half, so the guy will say, sure, and he'll actually bring the boat or the wine, which will mean that he's entitled to the full wages, unless the other person brings their boat or wine, in which case it'll just go on as they agreed originally. So if you look at the summary chart for Rashi, it's pretty straightforward. Everything, just a couple of words. Sfina Zuviyayin Stam, and this is really, you know, the Gemara, but assuming that everything refers to one whole. We're not dividing any of the payments. So, in Sfina Zuviyayin Stam, Im Nasan, if he paid up front, he's allowed to take everything back because the boat owner is the one who's holding it up. Im Lo Nasan Lo Yitin Klum. In Sfina Stam, V'ayin Zeh, we have again the reverse. In this case, if he gave money, he can't take it back. And you know what? He even has to pay if he hasn't paid yet because he's the one holding it up, Shimon, the wine owner. Finally, the case of Zeh, Zo and Zeh, that's the case of the Brisa, so that's the case of Rabbi Nasan, as Rav Papa explains, and therefore it depends on who has the money. Whoever has the money is going to keep it. And finally, Sfina Stam V'Yayin Stam, they're going to split it half-half, or they can actually go through with the rental. So that, I would say, is we organize the Shita of Rashi. Now let's try to figure out how it is that it works for Rashi, Misfar, in all these cases. So case number one in Rashi, Sfina Zu V'Yayin Stam. Let's think of this as a regular agreement where someone's hiring workers, okay? There are really two ways that we can look at this in general, and we'll get back to some of the other approaches. We can look at renting a boat as either a job of transporting my goods from point A to point B, or we can look at it as I am renting a physical object called a boat with the intention of, obviously, I'm planning on carrying my cargo with it, but obviously those will have two very different ramifications. Within Rashi, let's first talk about the agreement being a hiring agreement. Okay, in this case, Sfina Zo V'Yayin Stam. We have a hiring agreement. I hired this boat. I wanted to take my wine across from point A to point B, as Shimon speaking. What was accomplished so far? What was accomplished so far? Did you? Tava. So what would you say the status of that is? In terms of an agreement, how much work was actually performed, and what did I get out of that work as the person who hired it? Nothing. My wine is now on the bottom of the ocean floor.
Well, you might say work was performed, but I got nothing
out of it. Work was performed, but I got nothing out of it. Correct. And if that's the case, and this, from the simple perspective of a hiring agreement, if we're going to look at it from the perspective of Hana, Reuven does nothing, meaning the boat owner did nothing, therefore he deserves no wages. It's all straightforward. And therefore, even if Shimon had already paid him, of course he's going to get his money back. He didn't, as far as Shimon is concerned, the wine owner, nothing was performed for him. He would like Reuven to now take a boat and transport his goods, but Reuven unfortunately can't fulfill his side of the agreement. So that's a pretty straightforward case. Now let's take a look at case number two. Case number two is a little bit harder to understand within the same approach of a hiring agreement. The way that Rashi explains it is that since Reuven is able and willing to proceed with the entire job, Shimon is preventing him from doing so. So what? Meaning, it's true, Shimon's preventing him from doing so, and Reuven's willing to do the job, but did Reuven actually do the job? Is there anything that Reuven did that should entitle him to the wages?
Well, he put time, he put effort in.
Even, let's say, he put in effort. Did he put in effort to go the entire way? No. At maximum, one would think that Reuven deserves wages maybe of what he put in effort for, but no more than that. How is it that Rashi is going to say that he's entitled to all the wages? It's true. He wishes he could do the job, but at the end of the day, tachlis, did he do the job? No. So how's this going to work? So we can look at this essentially as Shimon backing out of the deal. Meaning, we're going to say, Reuven says, I'd like to continue. Shimon, unfortunately, is unable to continue because he specified Yai and Zeh, and he cannot provide Yai and Zeh. We're going to look at this a little bit more in Tosfos and a little bit more in the tour. But there are a few understandings that would allow us to understand this as when someone backs out in such a circumstance, they'd actually have to pay the full wages, meaning the halacha here would be that you're not allowed to back out. How exactly we'll get to that halacha, we'll see a little bit more in Tosfos. Can anybody think of some ideas, by the way, offhand? In which case would we say that someone's not allowed to back out? And that if they do, we'd assume they'd have to pay the full wages then?
I mean, Ba'abayis can't back out is when the Haskalas Malacha.
Very good. So if there's a Haskalas Malacha, if there's a Meshicha, if whatever the case may be, it's very easy to see that we could come up with the case in which, within the context of Schiros Poalim, we can allow someone to say, you are not allowed to back out. Therefore, since he is in reality backing out, you can actually take all the wages even though you didn't do any quote-unquote work to deserve it.
I guess the hard argument there is that I don't really want to back out. You're just leaving with not much of a choice. Like, I'd love to continue this deal, but you're being very particular about the Zeh, and I can't.
But you...
like, how are you...
Right, so what that will tie in is if you have the right to be particular about that. But at the end of the day, if we are in agreement, as we sort of said at the beginning, that you have the right to be particular, then at the end of the day, it's sad for you, but you are the one who's backing out
right.
of the deal.
I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, if you wanted to plug in the rules of Sirius Polim, this might be a case of onis, right? Meaning, I had no choice. Right? And then we had that paradigm where, like, if they had, like, there's right. something they could have done, then we don't require the Balabayas to pay, you know?
Right. So that's a fair question. We'll get to the onus element of it. As we continue our conversation. But yes, I think essentially, though, we can say it's quite possible to understand this case simplistically as a case where two people were in an agreement and they don't have the right to back out, therefore you have to pay the full wages even though the work wasn't completed. The third case, this is a case that's really the most questionable. Because we said in the case of Sfina, Zo, and Yayin Zeh, where does the money remain? Where it is currently. So now, in this case again, what was performed in terms of a hiring agreement? What was actually done on behalf of either of the parties here? So again.
Well, someone put in their time.
So on the one hand, someone put in their time. What time did they put in? What effort did they put in? That's halfway's worth of effort.
Yeah.
Is there any way in the world that Shimon should, that Reuven should be deserving of full wages for what he did? It's hard to understand that. Why is it that if he was paid up front, that he should get to keep the money?
Well,
it's true that the person doesn't really have a strong claim the other way back. But
Go ahead. Finish.
No. It's fine.
On a technical level, when you think about what goes into this job of getting somebody from point A to point B, you have furnishing a boat,
mm-hmm.
loading the cargo, and then driving it there. Furnishing the boat is the same job whether you furnish it for halfway or you furnish it for the whole way. Loading the cargo is the same job whether it's for halfway or for the whole way. He's done the entire task. The only piece that's missing is
the loading is half because you have to unload it the other half.
Yeah.
Right. Well, assuming he's responsible for that unloading, based on what we saw in the Gemara on loading and unloading the cargo, it wasn't so clear that the Bala Baha Sfina was the one doing that. You could make the argument that some of this job is nuclear. Like, this is what you do, whether you're going 1 mile or whether you're going 100 miles.
Right. But I don't know that you could make the agreement that that's the entire job, though.
Well, no, because there is that bit of the fuel or manpower or whatever it is. That
whatever that's taking you there,
Well, the
fuel
is also,
by the same token, the only thing the wine owner is interested in is getting his stuff to the other end. Anything that precedes that is of no value to him in the rental agreement.
Right. And just a point, we had the paradigm in the donkey case.
Right.
Where, like, the donkey dies. I'm going to die stuff as a donkey repairman, by the way. Where the donkey dies.
I'm sorry,
halfway,
what would that look like?
Halfway through the journey. And if it sounds like if it doesn't benefit the owner at all, like the renter at all, then you don't pay. And at a simple level, it sounds like if like it was, the way the Rishonim conclude is that, like, if you did nothing for me.
Snap his fingers and get it there, then
I'm even concerned that the wine owner doesn't get at least some damages for his lost wine.
Again, that's a separate issue from what we're doing here today. I don't want to get off topic, so to say, into that. But it's a totally fair question for another Friday Shear. At the end of the day, this question essentially, and especially based on what Rav Sami is saying, which is also true in that, generally speaking, when something sinks halfway, we would think to compare it to the previous case where if there was no benefit given to the person who was transporting their cargo, meaning now the cargo is in the bottom of the sea and there's no benefit there, we would think you wouldn't have to pay at all. But I'm saying, even if you want to argue that it's based solely on the effort that was put in by the boat owner, by Reuven, it's still impossible to justify why, if he paid up front, he shouldn't be able to take anything back whatsoever. And the truth is, that question's really asked explicitly by Tosfos. It's a question that's not unique to Rashi. It's a question that can be asked on anybody. But at the very least, we will see that question asked directly in Tosfos. We'll try to explain what Tosfos says. Tosfos, in their language, by the way, if you just want to see the way that they say this, a very bizarre way to express it, it's asked that the beginning of Tosfos Yata Motze, in the third/fourth one there. If you look down at the line below Yata Motze, V'chi bishvil shemaschir muchzak yarviach. You know, just because he's the one who has the money, so suddenly he makes money? How did he suddenly make money? Just because he's holding on to it doesn't mean he's entitled to it. And it's true that we say in certain cases, you know, if someone is muhsak, so amotzi mechavel avaraya and things like that. But here, I mean, he didn't do anything. So how can he possibly be keeping this money? That's the way the Tosfos ask it. Tosfos actually answer, if you look at the next line, with a very strange answer. Kevan shenatan lo scharo nitratze sheyehe shelo la'altar. Since he gave him his money, he wants him to have the money. I mean, on a simple level, what that means is he's trying to basically say that Shimon wants to give away his money for free. I mean, it's hard to understand, but we will go through that Tosfos and we will explain that line in a little bit. Case 4 in Rashi. Okay, Sfina Stam and Yayin Stam. This is also pretty easy to understand. Either of them has a taina here that allows them to say, we are willing to continue with this agreement. We are willing to go and fulfill our part of the agreement, and therefore they would even be able to extract money with that claim, as we saw in the case where one is Zo and one is Stam, because they were willing to go ahead and do that. Now, if that's the case, you know, you really have sort of an awkward situation. Both of them have an equal claim to the money, then we're going to split the money. Again, if one of them actually physically comes forward and says, I've brought my boat to the harbor, the other person would have to bring their wine to the harbor as well, or that person, the first person, would get all the money. But nevertheless, it seems to be pretty simple to understand. That's pretty much Rashi for now. So we end up basically with Rashi, all looking at it as a hiring agreement, totally hiring workers. We left off with two questions that we saw. Number one is, if you back out of an agreement, why would you have to pay fully? And the second question was in case 3, which we saw addressed in Tosfos, is why is it that the person who is holding the money gets to keep the money if they didn't actually do any work? So, let's take a look at Tosfos. We'll read some of it inside, maybe some of it not inside. Let's take a look first. The first Tosfos, Ilema.
essentially asks the question from the previous sugya to say that it sounds like if you go halfway, you deserve halfway wages. And why wouldn't that be the case here? And Tosfos answer, basically, the answer that we already put up and mentioned, which is, over there, you only have to pay for halfway if halfway accomplished something. Meaning, if I loaded up my donkey and my donkey, and the donkey, not my donkey, if I loaded up your donkey that I rented from you, and it dies halfway, and now halfway I'm stuck in the middle of the desert with nothing to do. I can't sell my cargo. It's going to cost me 8 times the amount of money to get a ride from here to my final destination as it would have immediately. Tosfos explain even there that you wouldn't need to pay in such a case, and therefore they say here too, we're talking about the entire sum of money in the case of Sfina Zo and Yayin Stam, again, where the boat was specified and the wine was unspecified, so even though it's true the boat owner did drive the cargo halfway there, at the end of the day, since there was no benefit, you won't have to pay at all, and therefore, everything goes back to the wine owner. He doesn't have to pay a cent. Even if he already paid, he gets his money back. That's the first case in Tosfos. Let's start.
I just like add another point. I just sort of strengthen that, because it's not just that you didn't benefit him. He's worse off, right? He lost the cargo.
Right.
In those cases, at least, like.
But again, we're separating ourselves from that here.
No, but I'm not even talking about in terms of being liable for it. I'm just saying, like, even for those Rishonim who say, like, the Rambam, who doesn't say you need to have benefit, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
So it sounds like if I got you halfway, that's it. You got to pay.
Correct.
Someone would have wanted to go halfway, but mm-hmm. here, there's no more cargo to even speak of. You can even argue that there's like the whole thing's off.
Right.
It's one thing to get me halfway, and I'm like, okay, you get the rest of the way. It's another thing to get me halfway, and then the cargo's on the bottom of the
ocean. Right.
That's all.
That's definitely an important point to add. Okay, so we'll start at the next Tosfos. Ela b'sfina stam v'yayin zeh, the second case, okay, that we have in the chart of Tosfos, the second case that we saw in Rashi. Ela b'sfina stam v'yayin zeh, lo nasan alma lo yitain lema havli, lema le havli chamra v'anam aysina sfina. So say Tosfos, lo mi baya im kvar nasan shelo yital, if you already gave the money, you can't take it back. That's obvious. Ela afilu lo nasan, but even if you didn't yet give it, Yesh lo lases kol haschirus. You actually have to give over the full sum of money. Shehare kana hamaschir kol haschirus b'meshichas hasocher es hasfina. Because the maschir was kona the entire schirus when the socher did a meshicha on the boat. Why? Kevan she mizuman hamaschir lakayem tna'o. Since the maschir is ready to fulfill their portion of the agreement. Meaning, this is a case of Sfina Stam. Say Tosfos, in both cases of Sfina Stam, if there was a Mashiach going on, so first of all, Im Nasan Lo Yitol, if you already paid the money, you can't take it back, that's obvious. Because they're waiting to fulfill the deal, you were not waiting to fulfill the deal. And here what happened was there was a Mashiach on the boat. And there was a Mashiach on the boat, therefore, if you haven't given money, nevertheless, you still need to pay the full amount. Why? Because you did a Mashiach. What does a Mashiach accomplish? What does Mashiach on the boat do? If I were to ask you, there are two main possibilities you can suggest here.
Solidifies the commitment.
Either solidifies the commitment in some way, okay, and we do see an equivalent to that by Spiros Polim, that being Moshech, the Kalim of whatever it is, the Balabayas, the Poel, in this case, it's obviously the Poel, that meaning the Balabais is being Moshech, the Kalim of the Poel, and that's going to make it a point in which you can't back out, and therefore you're going to be chayav for the total amount. That's one way of looking at it. What could be another way of looking at it? Interesting idea.
Someone acquire the boat?
Perhaps that this person is showing by his Mashiach of the boat that my money is going towards renting this physical object. If that's the case, what happens when the boat sinks? You've paid your money for the boat. The boat is now at the bottom of the ocean. That would also allow for us to say that the full wages would be actually responsible at the moment that you paid them, because you're saying these wages go on the boat.
Do we have a kinyan chalipin for schirus?
Mashiach.
I mean, yeah, there's Mashiach here. We certainly have that there.
No, but I'm asking whether we say formally, in general, chalipin for schirus. I'm not talking about Mashiach as a...
Well, I think... I'm not quite sure. Like, Mashiach HaSasfina should be Kone the Sfina of the Sphiris, right?
Like, yeah.
What do you mean? What's the difference between two options?
Well, is it Kone the actual object, or is it solidifying the Sphiris in some way?
The first way to take it was just that it's a demonstration of seriousness.
Right. And the demonstration of seriousness means I can't back out.
Oh, you didn't mean a Kenyan in the first way?
Yeah. No, he just made...
Correct. I didn't mean a kinyan in the first way.
Like a sort of... I think it's how serious... Right? That was the last thing we talked about.
Correct.
When you pull the chamor, yes, you're committing to pay.
Is there even
correct. So
is
it a committing to pay, or is it... I'm actually saying that the wages are not going towards my journey, but going towards this object.
Right.
It's just a question of what the wages are really going towards.
Right,
it's a very subtle difference. It's a very subtle difference, but at the end of the day, in both cases, even if nothing was accomplished, you're still going to have to pay fully, as Shimon here.
But does that convert the Sfina Stump to Sfina Zoo?
In what way? That you did a Mashiach on this boat?
On this boat, yeah.
Right, so the answer is no, because you still made the agreement on that. It's just simply the Mashiach happened on this physical boat. It goes back a lot to the last sugya.
Tami's question is right. In other words, does the renter have an obligation to pay because of the original agreement or because of the kinyan on this boat?
So again, that would depend on what they act.
Right, and that's his point.
Right, but this really does get back to the last sugya in terms of when you are Moshiach this boat, is this all boats... in the future that may come up in the spots or not. So it's really relevant to that. But yes, at the end of the day, the full wages, either because they're paying for the boat or because they're paying for a skirus which you can't back out of anymore, are going to have to be owed here, and that's pretty straightforward.
Right. I think the words that Tosfos adds, I think, to relate your part, Kevin Shemazuman, the Kayetina.
Right.
Meaning, the point is that once you pull, meaning, you know, like, if I decided to, I rent your boat, and then, like, you take it and you drive to the Bahamas with it, like, I'm not going to have to pay for that, even though, like, I committed to doing your boat. The point is that once we make this commitment, I am entitled, so long as you're ready to do your part of the bargain, I am required to pay you for that. Because I was Kone the Spheris of Spino. Assuming you can fulfill our part of the bargain, if you're saying like I'm not doing it, then I don't have to pay. But the point is that's essentially backing out. And I can't. Right.
Correct. And the point is that here, the boat owner Reuven is just not backing out, and the only one who may be backing out, which is really irrelevant. Again, if you paid for the boat and the boat sinks, then you still have to pay all the money for it. Again, we're not talking about paying for the actual boat. We're talking about the wages that you set. What are they meant as? So that will explain the im nasan case of Sfina Stam B'Yayin Zeh, and the im lo nasan that you will have to pay so long as you were Moshiach the Sfina, so long as you did a Mashiach there, that's going to require you to pay. What about if you didn't pull the Sfina? Okay, what's going to happen then? And here we're going to get into a lot of technical stuff that relates back to Skiras Polim. So this is a really good chazar on that stuff as well. Let's continue reading through Tosfos. O afilu below Mashiach. Say Tosfos, even without pulling, kevan shemaschir yachol lekayem tnao v'socher eino yachol lekayem, im kein mazalo garam v'have kechozer bo, v'yitein lo mechatzi haderech shelo halach kepoel batel. Say Tosfos, even if you didn't do a Mashiach, well, guess what? We're going to say that since the maschir is able to fulfill the tnai, meaning there's a boat waiting, or that there can be a boat waiting, I should say, there isn't actually a boat waiting, and the socher, the wine person, does not have wine to fulfill this, therefore we're going to say, and here's the phrase, mazalo garam, it's your bad luck, and you are like a chozer bo, and you have to pay the other half, kipoel batel. Okay, so far what we have is im lo mashach asfina. Look at the second part of the second case in Shitas Tosfos. Yitin schar shel haderech shekvar halach. So in this case, we're talking about the rental agreement. You're going to have to pay for what you already went plus ukepoel batel b'derech shelo halach. And what you didn't pay, you're going to have to pay like a poel batel. So we're going to need to analyze both of these segments right now. Why are we going to need to analyze the first half of the journey, which was already traveled? Because at the end of the day, you didn't benefit. The second half of the journey, we have to understand why you're going to be paid as a poel batel. First of all, why do you deserve that altogether? And second of all, why like a poel batel? Let's first deal with Tosfos. Tosfos deals with that second question first. We're then going to go back to the lumdus of both of them in the notes. So, ask Tosfos. Okay, let's just jump on. The kasha. De'amai yitain lo klal mechatzi aderech shelo alach afilu kepoel batel. Tosfos is asking on the second half of the journey, the part that wasn't completed, we said, you have to pay for that like an idle worker. Okay. Why? Kevan she'iro ones. Since an ones took place, hamrinan le'el, and I'm not going to get into this particular case, I want you to jump down
One line. Dechol ones she'ira lebalabayis shelo haya lo leida yoser mina poalim have pseida de poalim. That the rule is in Hilchos, hiring workers, that if an ones happens and both of them had equal non-warning, who has to take the loss? The workers in its entirety, and they wouldn't be paid at all. So meaning if there was a work that couldn't be completed due to some sort of unpreventable circumstance, an unforeseeable circumstance, the poalim just lose their money.
Well, they don't get paid for what they did.
That's why I said, we're not dealing with the first half, we're dealing with the second half. You didn't transport the goods beyond halfway through the Atlantic Ocean. Therefore, why are you getting paid for the second half as a poal bata? We're going to get back to the first half. That's a separate issue, though. But yes, they do get paid for the first half and not for what they weren't able to do after the onus occurred. So basically, Tosfos are asking, why would you get paid like a poal bata here? It says, V'achanami, al korchach parach she'itin afilu scharchat yader shel o'alach, midel nichalei ha'diktani imasam lo yitom. Tosfos brings a textual proof to say this has to be the case. Jump to the middle of the line. V'tiretz Rivan, the Rivan answers, dila el she'hapoalim lo avdu klum. That earlier on, that was the case where it's true the poalim came to work and there was an onus and they couldn't work, so they lose the entire wages. That was where we don't feel bad for them, where they didn't actually lose anything. However, here, they were unable to perform work. You don't give them anything. But here, says the Rivan something very bizarre that's hard to understand when you read it. He says, since over here, the poor maschir, he lost his boat sunk. We feel so bad for him. Therefore, mercy, out of mercy, we're going to give him kepoel batel. What kind of logic is that? It's nice that his boat sunk in the middle of the ocean, but why should that make us pay him? If at the end of the day, the halacha is in a case of onus, you're not going to be paying for it, what makes us suddenly pay for the case of onus? So, here we go. This is the fun part. So, we can look at this also in a couple of different ways. Let me just find where I have this over here, because I have both sorted out over here. In the hiring workers case, for the second half of the journey, we have Rivan suggesting this. Note that in the next Tosfos, Rivan is actually going to say that you don't get paid for the second half of the journey. So we'll have to admit in Tosfos that this takes in some way the form of the rental of an object as well. Meaning, just like we were saying at the beginning of Tosfos, when you did a Meshicha, you're in some way demonstrating that you may want to have some ties to the object. Different Achronim suggest that you may be, when you're entering in this case, and the person is being socher as fina stam, part of what they are renting is either potential damage that may occur to the boat, meaning when I come forward and I say I'm hiring your boat, part of what I have in mind for the payment is there is a chance that your boat may enter into a dangerous situation, and that's part of the wages that I'm paying you. Therefore, we set this amount to be kepoel batel, that even though, of course, nothing was actually accomplished, since part of the original agreement entailed that there was a potential for damage, we will apply it here in this case. Similarly, it could be that it's a special compensation of damages, the way Soloveitchik frames it. It's a little bit harder to understand, but basically he says there's a special rule that then when there's hezek between a employee and an employer, there are ways sometimes that we find ways to pay it back outside of the formal sort of mazik types agreements. And basically that seems to be the approach of the Acharonim, to tie it in some way to either the physical boat or to a special rule of Poalim that this applies to here. So we've solved the second half of the journey. We still haven't solved the first half of the journey. What about the first half of the journey?
Well, I'm just thinking, why do we find that if a person does physical labor, that if it wasn't beneficial, you don't get paid? I mean, the rule hana'ah is specific to the schiris, right? But, like, for instance, if you hire me to, I'll pick my classical mole, your lawn suggestion. Mm-hmm. If I mow half of your lawn, and then, lo and behold, there's a snowstorm or whatever, and like, whatever.
I understand.
You still have to pay me. I did it.
Right, so the question is, what are our guidelines for when you actually have to do that?
Right.
Meaning, under what circumstances do we say it depends on what the person has actually physically performed on your behalf? And when do we say it has to depend on your benefit?
Right.
So for this, we can talk about different possibilities. One way to look at it is whether or not the first half of the job can be viewed independently, or if the second half of the job is viewed as a continuation of what you are doing.
So I think that's the important key here. If the entire first half of the job is considered an independent job, then yes, we will say if it's something that the employee has actually performed and they followed through on their agreement, then that's considered to be significant. In that case, we would say that since, in the case of Sfinas Tam V'Yayin Zeh, since Shimon, the wine guy, is unable to continue, he's saying the job ends here. So we're going to look at the first half of the job on Reuven's terms. Reuven's saying, I actually did the first half of the job. And therefore, exactly, would be expected that he would have to be compensated for his efforts and not necessarily for the final outcome. There are other alternative ways to explain this, but I think that's a pretty solid approach, and based on what Reb Sami was saying over here. Just because I want to move on, I want to finish this shiur in time. At the very least, we should finish Tosfos, because there's a whole bunch left. Now, this all works great in regards to Imlo Nasan. If you haven't paid yet, so we have this machlokas between Rivan and Rivam. Rivan, which we mentioned in Tosfos, says, as you can see in the chart, that you have to pay Kipol Batel for the journey that wasn't traveled, and you have to pay the full wages of the journey that was traveled. Rivam, on the other hand, says, no, you actually, like the question of Tosfos, you don't have to pay at all for the second half of the journey. And that's the end of the story. Meaning, either you're going to be paying half plus Kipol Batel on the second half, or you're just going to be paying half in the case of Sfinas Tam V'Yayin Zeh. What about if you already paid, though? Why shouldn't you be allowed to take your money back? Again, the same question. If you're entitled to only a certain amount, why is it that you can't take money back? And this will actually come into play in the next Tosfos, which was essentially the same question we asked on Rashi in the case of Sfinas V'Yayin Zeh. Is it ever possible that even when you don't fulfill the terms of your agreement, that you still actually have to pay for something like that, or that you can't take money back? Meaning, when you've paid up front, for some reason you don't get your money back, even though the entire agreement hasn't been fulfilled by the other. How can that work?
With the second half for Rivan, if yes, it's already been paid up front, would the owner of the boat have to return some of the money?
No, and that's the question. That's exactly the question.
He says to Paul Batel, so that's only if he hasn't paid yet.
Because we're only going to give him loan asan.
Right.
But in Nasan, Tosfos is explicit that lo yitol, right? That's the first line of Tosfos. So the question is, why not? If you'd only have to pay that amount, why shouldn't I be able to get back what I actually would sort of be chayav to pay? So for that, let's jump on, continuing on in Tosfos. Tosfos brings this up within the context of Sfina Zo and Yayin Zeh, which was the same case we asked at on Rashi. Again, to reiterate, our question is, what rights does the person who is holding the money have to the money if they didn't do anything to deserve it? Okay, so say Tosfos, Iatamose Elabiyain Zeu Sfinazo. Dihamuchsak Yomer Lachavero, that the person who is, again, in control of the money will say to the other, Las Lach Gabai Velo Midi, you've got nothing on me. Dikayim Tnaecha, you go and fulfill your part of the deal. Vim Tomar, okay? Im natan kol haschirus, and Tosfos now asks this question: if you've already given the entire wages, amai lo yitol asocher schar dechatzia derach shelo halach, why can't you take back the remaining amount of money for the journey that wasn't traveled? Meaning, again, according to Rivan, you'd be taking back the part that's not kippah al batel. According to Rivan, you're going to be taking back the entire second half of the journey wages. Why not? V'chi bishvil shemaschir muchzak yarviach. Just because the maschir is holding the money, he should get it? I mean, how does that make any sense? Oh, tzchiros eino mishtalem ela basof. Also, we say that tzchiros is only paid off at the end, whatever that means. It's really not something I want to focus on right now. It's a technical ruling from elsewhere. But let's think of the question again. The basic question, which is, what did the maschir do in order to be able to keep this, if he's a mochsak? The lama yafsid hasocher schar chatzi haderach shelo halach. Why is that? V'yesh lomar. Say Tosfos, kevan shenasan lo scharo, since he gave him his money, nisratze sheyehe shelo le'alter. He wanted it to be his immediately. Af al gav deina mishtalemes elo basof. Lida'as kein no snow sheyehe shelo le'alter. What?
Four more words.
Yeah, Imlo Yisharibo. And what he said is, essentially, this was given on condition that it's going to be yours if I don't fulfill my end of the deal. So, on a very simple level, this is I mean, I guess technically you could say this is possibly in Ukimta, where the person literally is that stupid that they would say that. But it seems
not
to be...
This is what happens in business. This is what happens. We talked about this with Eved also. We asked the question of why is it that if an Eved is chola up to 3.5 years or whatever, 3 years out of the six,
mm-hmm.
you just accept it, and one, as opposed to a poel where you don't pay him if he got sick and he didn't go to work. Mm-hmm. And one of the answers that we gave was because you understand people get sick, things happen. When you engage in commerce, you take certain risks upon yourself.
Right.
And
right.
Otherwise, if you said to him, I'm not willing to endanger myself, he might say, then I'm going to go find another customer.
Right. I think that's why the employee shayor is kind of important. Important is like right. paying you up front. And by paying you up front, I'm saying, and if something happens right. to the boat, shine.
And that seems to be the understanding, which works, by the way, for Rashi, right? Because again, if you're paying up front, it's the case where imnasan. And therefore lo yitol in both of these cases, and that's why you won't get anything back. The truth is other people explain this differently. They're not willing to say that someone's, I guess, saying this or that this is necessarily implied in the case of handing over money for the reason that you raised before, essentially, which is, I really would like to continue this here. It's very hard to say this is actually what the intention of the person who handed over the money in advance was. So,
well, isn't it also kinyan kesef that you're committing everything to him?
So it doesn't seem to be the case. That doesn't work here. No.
What do you mean, Kona? This is payment. This is not kinyan kesef.
Right. So you could try to spin it that way. You could say that by paying up front, I'm saying I want my wages to go towards a physical object, dehainu the ship, and there are those who explain it that way. I think that that's another fair way to look at meaning. You demonstrate that you want your rental to be not of the transportation. If you want it to be for the transportation, when would you pay? At the end of the journey. But when you say, let's say, I am coming here to rent a ship, especially when you say Sfina Zo, and you're paying, you're saying my money is going towards the ship. And if the ship sinks, oh well, you lost your money. And if that's the case also, that would also be a good reason to say why specifically in the case of Sfina Zo, where you're paying up front, that demonstrates explicitly that you are going to be doing this. By the way, that wouldn't answer the case of Sfina Stam. The Lo Yishaer Bo, what Tosfos makes that point, is that the backing out has to be on behalf of the person who has the yayin, if you want this to kick in, but that works for both cases of Tosfos. Meaning, summary, two ways to approach it. One is that this was the assumption by paying up front that even if something bad happens, you're going to remain in the deal and you just lose your money, and that works, again, both in the case of Sfina Stam and Yayin Zeh, and Sfina Zeh and Yayin Zeh, Sfina Zo and Yayin Zeh. The other answer, which we said, which some people even explain Tosfos that way, is that the money here is going towards the actual physical object of the boat because you paid the money up front. Again, that can also answer why you'd never get any money back, even though, again, you didn't actually do work commensurate with that payment. It doesn't matter, because it's not about this. Finally, and we'll have a little bit of time to go through some of the other stuff, let's continue on in Tosfos. Tosfos next talks about the Shita of the Rivam, which we mentioned earlier, that, again, you don't have to pay, in the case of Sfina Stam and Yayin Zeh, for the second half at all, in line with regular Hilchos Schirus Poalim. Let's jump down to the last case in Tosfos, and here we're going to just outline something very quick in Rashi and Tosfos. Maybe we'll get a chance for 2 seconds to look at some of the Torah and Shulchan Aruch. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like we're going to be able to spend a lot of time on that. Sfina Stam and Yayin Stam, okay, the final case where they can both fulfill their Tanai. And say Tosfos, Behamis Sapka Leila Rivam. For this, Rivam is unsure. Im Cholkin Schar Chatzi Haderech Shehalach Davka Vinosein Revius. Is it that we split the halfway that you've already went, and therefore you're only going to be paying one quarter? Meaning, this. Let's think back to the Shita of Rivam. What is the Shita of Rivam in the case of Sfina Stam and Yayin Zeh? That you pay when you, the Baal HaSfina, have the upper hand, then the other person has to pay you the entire half a journey. All clear? Does that make sense? Okay. Now, if that's the case, what about when they have equal rights? Well, in the case where the Baal HaSfina has quote-unquote full rights, he receives only the first half of the journey, which was already traveled. Therefore, when they have equal rights, Rivam might say that element, which would have been paid if the Baal HaSfina had the upper hand, and would not have been paid if the Baal HaYayin had the upper hand, should be split 50-50. That's something that makes a lot of sense based on the Shita of the Rivam. The second thing that the Rivam is saying is very hard to understand, and various people understand it in different ways. O cholkin kol haschirus,
V'yitin schar haderech kevan shekfar halach ve'adayin mezuman lekayim tna'o. Or we split the entire schirus, and he gives schar haderech since he already went, and he's able to continue to fulfill his part of the agreement. What does this mean to you when I read this? What type of split are we talking about? Anybody can pipe up. I'm not scary. Alex disagrees,
what
I see. For the second possibility, what are we talking about splitting? Are we talking about splitting the entire rental 50-50, meaning that even the second half of the journey is subject to splitting? Or is Rivam saying that the second possibility, which seems like from what he's saying, v'yitain schar haderech, it sounds like he's going to pay for the first half, and he's not going to pay for the second half.
The second.
So the second one sounds a little bit better. It's going to end up, though, by the way, that the case of Sfina Stam and Yayin Stam is exactly the case of Sfina Stam and Yayin Zeh, according to Rivam, which is a little bit hard to understand. There are those who view it as splitting the entire spheres. So, I mean, it's just something to think about. I'm not really going to go further into that. I just simply want to tell you there are two ways to read this. The way that we understood Rashi, when we were learning it together, is that the simple way to read Rashi is that since both of them have an equal claim on the entire journey, so there they will split it 50-50. Within Tosfos, it's possible that you're either splitting it, like Rashi says, 50-50, or that you're splitting it, one person gets what was covered, meaning the Baal HaSfina gets what was actually journeyed before, and the Baal HaYayin gets to keep the rest of the journey's worth of money, or that you're only splitting that first portion. Those are three possible ways to look at it. In terms of understanding why this is, again, the first way to understand it is pretty straightforward. The way of understanding 50-50 is pretty straightforward. We explained both already in Shir. The last way to understand it is really saying that he's mizuman lekayim tno. He's ready to keep it going. And therefore, in that case, you know, he should for some reason receive all the work that he already did. Now, some of the answers that we gave earlier for why he should receive money if the Baal HaYayin didn't get any hana out of it may not be so applicable here. But those, I think, are the two main shitos to keep in mind over here of Rashi and Tosfos. Just quickly to run through the tour, just because I want to get to that a little bit. You'll see I outlined three, I put three bullet points there within the case of Sfina Stam and Yayin Zeh. And for this, actually, we're going to see how we would explain these shitos that are found in the Torah alongside the shitos that we explained in Rashi and Tosfos. The first shita there, okay? Amar los finastam vasochar amar yayin zeh. Lidas rav alfas, afal pishalonas an klum min haschar, chayav litain lo kulo, kevan shebal hasfina yachol lekayim tina'o, velo bal hayayin v'chein kasav arambam, el ashek kasvu. Tzarech lanakos lo hatoreach shel chatzi aderach she'eno dome hametapel beholech es hasfina liyoshevu batel. Their opinion is that you have to pay for the full way that he has already gone, plus you pay a kipoel batel on the second half of the journey. Which shita does this parallel?
Rivan
with a nun. Very good. Okay, that's pretty straightforward. The Rama, a very interesting shita, he writes, no, he disagrees with this, and he writes, Delo shayach lememar eno dome habataun lavo rekan, dibetela dehai afside lisfinase kasha leitfe meheicha de avid melacha. Says the Rama actually fights against the statement of the Rambam and the Rivan that you should only get kipoel batel. Rama wants to come and say that you're going to get paid in full. But how could you possibly get paid in full? Even that, no one suggested. What could possibly be the logic for that? So if we were going to say, again, it has to do with paying for the boat, that's one thing. But Rama actually looks at it from a different perspective. He says, back in the case of Hilchos Chiras Polim, we had this notion of the Uchlesei de Mechuza. Who are the Uchlesei de Mechuza?
People who enjoy
work. There were people who really loved to work, and if they wouldn't work, they'd be very upset. So normally, in terms of calculating a rate of Kipoel Batel, how do we calculate it? How much would you agree to take to not have to do any of your work today? But these people, if you'd ask them, they say, no, we want to work. And therefore, you actually have to pay them their full amount. Says the Rama, since this guy feels bad about the fact that he lost his ship, so therefore, he has the status of Uchlesei de Mechuza, de Yahib lehu kol scharan mishum, de chilo avdi chalshi. That you have to pay them their entire rate, since when they don't work, they're going to become weak.
Isn't Rashi also saying you need to pay everything?
So correct. So I would like to say this could possibly be the shita that Rashi took,
in terms of how could it be, if we're going to say that Rashi literally means you pay everything, how could it be that Rashi will escape the fact that this is a case of Skiris Polim? If in reality it's Skiris Polim, how can Rashi say you have to pay all of them? So, this would be a reason that you actually have to do that. Again, since, you know, in under certain circumstances, the full wages must be paid in a case where the worker does not need to complete their task. Since the owner's boat sank, they're classified as such. The way the Prisha explains this to, in a little bit more depth, is because normally we speak of the effort expended in one's job versus the relaxation in not having to complete it. But what's the owner going to be doing here? They're going to be spending all their time upset over the sinking of the boat, so therefore in this circumstance they'd rather be working. Meaning, it's not because we feel bad for him, it's that because here he actually wants to be working. Now that his boat has sunk, he's like, oh my gosh, I got to get back to work. Number one, he wants to probably get his mind off the boat that sunk. But more importantly, if his boat sunk, he's got to really get back to work right away. Therefore, we assume that in this circumstance, he wants to be working. Again, don't confuse the Rama as saying this is a separate concern and we're only equating the two, but rather he's saying the concern is the same here. This person wants to be working right now at all costs. Therefore, they're going to get the full wages. That can correspond to Rashi. Rush, on the other hand, the final shita that we have in the tour, right, so the rent for the completed portion of the trip must be paid, but not the rent for the portion of the trip that was never completed. This would correspond to which shita? Rivam with a mem. And in that case, it's questionable, though, within the rush, one can ask, and I know that people wonder this, and there isn't really a clear answer, does the rush also hold of this idea of Tosfos that imnasan lo yitol klum? Or does he say that even if it had already been paid up front, you can actually take back the second half of the journey? That's not really clear from the Rush. Most people, however, seem to equate the Rush and the Rivam. You can see the rest of the cases there. There's a nice point at the end of the tour in terms of just the negotiations that are taking place in the case of Stam and Stam, but we don't really have the time for that. Just quickly to note, just in Shulchan Aruch as well, and this is, again, for people to look through if they have the time to do so. How many minutes do we have left?
Two.
Two and a bit. Okay. So if that's the case, just a couple of points that people may want to look into in the future. Number one, again, the end of the tour here, as to who can claim what in the final case of Stam and Stam, you know, what types of tainas do one have against the other based on the rush. Very interesting to look at that as well. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch, a couple of interesting points. I'm going to outline three things to look into. Number one, if you look at Sif Beis in the Shulchan Aruch, let's read inside together. Asocher satzfina v'tava v'chatzi aderech. Im amar leich sfina zo ani matri l'cha v'sachar. Asocher loch b'yayin stam. So in the case of sfina zo ani yayin stam. Af al pishin asan lo haschar. Yachzir kol haschar. Sharei ze omer haveli asfina atzma. That this person's claim is, give me the boat itself. Shesacharti, that I rented from you. Shehakpada gedola yesh b'sfina zo. That there's a tremendous hakpada that to have this particular boat. What does that seem to imply about wine? Maybe not as big of a hakpada. What might that mean? How to deal with that? You can see the Mefarshim there. They deal with this question. I'll note a couple of notes in the Ramah as well. The Ramah deals with some of the other cases that you may have been wondering about. He does make the comparison to our previous case. Again, how this works with Sfina Zo and Hakpara Gedola is a good question, but nevertheless, he does make that equation that if you can get the boat back, it will have the same status as the Hamar, as we mentioned earlier, just like we tried to compare the cases in terms of what was being paid. And finally, you know what, we'll cut it here because it's time, but you can take a look at the other things. Lots of interesting stuff to discuss. Thank you very much.